Good morning, friends. Thank you, Monica. Ooh, I feel like I'm in control of my own life sometimes. Oh, wow. This morning, one of the passages we're going to settle in to look at the encounter is John 5. So if you want to flip there in your Bibles now or turn there on your app or grab the Pew Bible, it's page 864. But before we get there, a disclaimer. I have a six-week-old at home. Okay? His name is Samuel, and he loves to wake us up in the middle of the night. So if at some point today you're like, man, that's a weird thought, you might think that's probably a thought you have around 3 a.m. Yeah, and then you can take that back to Jesus. We're going to start in John chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is a story that looks to express something about God that we can find in Jesus. And that's what this series between Easter and Pentecost is all about, this encounter series. While we look at the life of Jesus, what might we be able to observe in a newer, fresh way that can express something about God, that can express something about who we are, that can express something of what that means for our relationship with ourselves and others all around us. I'm going to read this passage and then we're going to step into it. But I want to familiarize you with where this goes. It reads, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid, had been paralyzed for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. The day in which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, is it the Sabbath? As if they didn't know. And the law forbids you to carry your mat? But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. This is the word of the Lord. As we begin, it's helpful maybe to understand kind of the context of where the structure of where this story is taking place. So there's a pool of Bethesda, and it looks a little bit like this, and it's kind of outside of the city. And you kind of see like two squares in the top right, the right, and those are the five colonnades. And there is a sheep gate. If you look like the path beside it would be the sheep gate. It goes up and then through the small, narrow passage into the wall. Now, what Christ is doing here is pretty interesting and profound. Now, the word Bethesda is translated the house of mercy. So we're like giving away the story. And if we were to read this story with like a banner over it, it might read, Mercy House. Like, that's what's happening here in this passage. Mercy House is happening here in this story. And it's no mistake that Jesus is deciding to enter Jerusalem by this way. By way of the Sheep Gate. And I found this out on, you know, lots of research. But it's called a Sheep Gate because that is where sheep entered through a gate into and out of the city. Okay? Okay, so what Christ is doing here is something pretty interesting. And what he's doing here is he's, in a sense, he's saying, I'm going in. And my people are the sheep people. Because beside the sheep gate is this pool where all these disabled are, where all these disabled sheep are. And that is what he's communicating. I am a good shepherd and I come to work with my disabled sheep. It's beautiful what he's illustrating here. And in one sense, that blind, lame, and paralyzed is the reality of that large group around the pool. And it is a metaphor for all in the ways that I am blind and lame and paralyzed in my own life. That's what he's doing here. I'm entering Jerusalem this way so that you don't miss it. I'm going to the Mercy House to see some disabled sheep, namely you and I. That's fun. It's lovely. He's always moving that way. He's always moving toward our needs. He's always moving toward our discomforts, those in discomfort, those who are brokenhearted. That's just his way. And he's expressing himself this way here. It continues. He says, now there is in Jerusalem near a sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by these five colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to live, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid, had been sick and lame and paralyzed for 38 years, which is a long time. And the average life expectancy at the time is 35 years. So this guy is sick, like fiercely disabled, for longer than most people are alive. Now, in today's context, the average life expectancy is like 76 years. 76.33 if you're counting. Okay? You're like, every day. I'm a little closer. It's 76.33 years. And so in that sense, it's almost like it's someone in their deep 80s who goes, yeah, or deep 90s perhaps, who goes, for 80 plus years, I've been lame and sick and faced with this lame, sick, painful disability, and what that might do to us, and how that might change us. Yeah. And it's in this moment that Jesus asks him. He says, when Jesus saw him laying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? And I don't know what tone he used, right? You want to get well? You want to get well? I don't know what tone he used. Those are different, right? My reply is different based on the tone he uses. The rest of this passage pretty well expresses how his tone is used. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? He's asking him a direct question. It's not a complex question. It's a simple question. And he answers, not in a simple way, but he answers in kind of a complex way. He doesn't answer in a direct way. Like, yeah, I do. Yes. It's not what we read. We read, sir, the invalid replies, I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, when I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Now, his reply is pretty important for us to just observe some things about. He doesn't give a clear yes, of course, you know, sign me up. Where's the line start? He gives what sounds a little bit like an excuse. It sounds a little like he's blaming something about this circumstance. Like, if I only had a friend to help me get into this pool. Now, Just a quick side note on this pool. This pool was seen colloquially as like healing waters, where you could go to be healed. Now, after 38 years, you've kind of exhausted a lot of your own best ideas. You've seen that physician that everyone talks about. You know, you've taken that flight to that other country to go and see that provider. You've done the things, and you're left thinking, this is my last hope. And you're thinking, if I could just have a friend that could help me down these waters, then I could be healed. And now there's nothing particularly special about these waters. You could think of them in some sense of the stirring you could imagine is like perhaps like a geothermal release or something, like a hot spring or something. Maybe the color changed. I don't know. But what was understood was if you're the first one in, that person, man, that person gets healed. Kind of like maybe we would treat like cold therapy these days. Like it's good for you. Okay, but it's just good for you. And I want to be the first one there. That's his posture with this. And he's desperate. He's desperate for help. Now, if you think about these 38 years of people asking him, do you want to get well? Because it could have happened before. You know, Christ could have, you know, encountered somebody who was like sick for 5 years. And it makes me wonder if the way he's interacting with this question would change over time, right? Like 5 years into this thing was like, oh, this thing's not going away. Ugh. Do you want to get well? Yeah, I do. I'm trying. Or 10 years into it, do you want to get well? Yeah, like sarcastically. Do you want to get well? Maybe it took 20 years into it, Christ could have asked him, do you want to get well? And he might have even said, no, possibly. Like, I'm so sick and tired of being so sick and tired. I just want it to end. Could have been a response. No, I just want, like, the long good night feels like relief. But that's not. None of those are what he says. He says this, which is interesting for us to recognize, for us to think about, for us to consider. And we're going to come back to that in just a moment. It's then that Jesus says to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat. And he walked away. So if you're like me, you might read this and think, man, what just happened? How did this work? I got things in my life that I need healed. And so what equation did this guy follow that I can do and get healed? So we have an equation for you. No, we don't have an equation for you. Yay! That's good. Yay! That's how I feel sometimes. Yeah. Of like, how did this happen? How did this person get healed? And now John doesn't disclose these things, but he doesn't include these things like to help us understand. But he doesn't get healed because of his faith in Jesus. That's not what this passage is revealing. He doesn't get healed because he's subscribed to all the right theological propositions. He doesn't get healed because he did all of the right sacraments or works. He gets healed because Jesus is compassionate. He gets healed because Jesus is merciful. That's why he's healed. It's not because of something he's done. It's not because of something he's figured out after 38 long, long years. You know, it's not because he deserves it more than anybody else in this story. It's because Jesus is compassionate and merciful. Expresses something about the Father right? Who is compassionate and merciful. And if we jump down to verse 19, he's being asked these direct questions, and Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing." God is compassionate and merciful, and I am compassionate and merciful. And this gets him in a lot of trouble. This business, if this was running a business, this is a business turn. You know, the trajectory of his business is about to change. But God is not a God that discriminates in giving us good gifts. And Jesus is demonstrating that here. Jesus is demonstrating that God is working in our best interest, independent of our best effort. Not in spite of. He loves our effort. It's a joy to participate with him. He's thankful for our efforts, but independent of them. And so what we see being revealed in this man's life is that he doesn't have the right answer when asked. You know, he has an answer. He has an honest response for that day. And if maybe Jesus encountered him earlier in the week, his response might have been different. I don't know. We don't know. But we can imagine how our experiences in life change the way that we look at the things we want changed. This question Jesus is asking him, "Do you want to get well?" This is a question about desire. This is a question about what you're longing for, which he's asked before. If you turn a couple pages left into John 1, this is how he gathers the first of his disciples. We could start in 37. "When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed him. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?'" It's a question about your desires and longings. What do you want? Do you want to be well? They're the same question. It's a question of, are you aware of what your interest is? Are you aware of where you're drawn? Are you aware of the things that compel you? And it's a question for us today as we think about all the ways that we are lame and blind and sick. We might think of, you know, what are the things that I'm blind and arrogant and ignorant of in life? You might ask, what in me is lame and withering? It's just slowly dying. That hope for that thing is just slowly withering. What in me feels like it's paralyzed and incapable of moving, right? I'll say these things in conversation where I'm like, you know, I just couldn't get there. I couldn't get to where they're at. There's a paralysis. I can't get there. I'm immovable. And this passage is saying, yeah, you are. Are you aware of those things? Are you aware of those things that are obvious to many of the rest of us? And as we ask those questions, you might have something that comes to mind. You know, the ways that we are blind and lame and paralyzed in our spiritual life, in our emotional life, in our physical life. You might have something that comes to mind. Now, the point of the thing that comes to mind is not to judge it. You know, if you have something that emerges right now of like, yeah, what things do I want to get well? I've got a list. I got a top 10. The goal is not to judge if those are like good ones or not. That's not the point. It's unhelpful. It's unhelpful to put like a moral lens on it and be like, is this the right thing or is this a wrong thing? Is this a pure thing or is this a, you know, selfish thing? I asked this woman in my life, I mean, she acts like she's 1,000 years old, and I brought her this opportunity. I said, I don't know if my motives for this are totally pure, and she said, I've never had an entirely pure motive in my life. I was like, cool, off the hook. Like, it's not a question of, like, how much, is that a good thing, like, desire or a bad one? That's not the point. The point is it honest? That's the point. Is it an honest desire? And that's all we seek to bring to God. Do you want to get well? Yeah, well, I could use a friend to help me get in this pool so that I could do the duh. It's just honest. It's responsive and honest. And then Jesus says to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. So for some of us, we might be thinking, oh, that's great and all. It's great that God works in my best interests, independent of my best efforts. That's lovely to know. And that might be a lot for any of us to appreciate. And for some of us, we might be asking, yeah, and are there some efforts that I can make? Are there some efforts I can make? And I wonder if that's where we might settle for today, is like, what are the efforts, the honest efforts we can make in receiving the compassion and the mercy that God desires to give us, that he longs to give us? What do we want? We share that. And he goes, thanks for sharing what you want. What do I want? Can I share that with you? Here are a few ways that we might talk about it. We might talk about it as like the way that, like a series of kind of being honest. Efforts and openness. I don't know what to call this. It feels like it could be openness. Like, how do I best open myself up to God's compassion and mercy in my life? How do I do that? If I'm gonna have an effort, what might that effort look like? It might look like acknowledging the obvious thing that's in front of that I want. Whatever it happens to be. You know? For some of us, that's uncomfortable. You know? I want to be, but what would that reveal about who I am? It's like, it doesn't matter. Is it honest? It reveals that you're honest. Keep going. You know, acknowledge the obvious thing honestly. And then releasing the idea of what is right, best, and good about that thing. We release it, the idea of what is right, best, and good for me. I have an idea of what's right, best, and good for my life. I've written it down. Okay? I don't know if that is what's right, best, and good for my life. I have an idea of what's right, best, and good for my life. This man at the pool, he had an idea of what was right, best, and good for his life. I need a friend. I need to get in this pool. I can't even see. I can't even see beyond this pool. He can't even imagine life beyond the pool. I was like, what do you want? I can't imagine it. That's why we're releasing our ideas, because we think of these beautiful, profound, great ideas that honor God and are noble, and then we release them back to him that we might truly dream well. That's why that works. That's what we're up to. Like, thank you for giving me this, God. I return it to you. We're honest with the obvious. We release our idea of what's right, best, and good. And we welcome God's, this one's loaded, and we welcome God's compassion and mercy in our life, however he decides is to his liking. Ugh. Right? Are we kind of like, oh yeah, I'm into the compassion and mercy part. Where did we go? Like, wait a sec. I don't know if that's what, right? which is also honest to talk to him about. Yeah? I desire your compassion and mercy as long as it looks this way. This man at the pool, what's he want? He has this very narrow perspective of what he wants. A friend and getting in this water. And Jesus broadens it. Just get up, pick up your mat and walk. You know? And he gives him something he couldn't even imagine. Beyond his imagination. That's beautiful. But it's compassion and mercy beyond this man's capability, like beyond the imagination of this person's capability. And that's what this movement involves. I welcome your compassion and mercy. However you decide is to your liking, knowing that God works in my best interest, independent of my best efforts. Not in spite of. He loves our effort. He loves any time we're engaged. Engaged, engaged. Responds, respond. He says, thank you. Independent of our best efforts. I might put it this way, and then I'd love to pray. I might put it as like our desires, our longings. We all have them. Being honest with them is a big step. Honest about them is a big step. And what openness, the posture of openness looks like taking my, you know, the desire for compassion and mercy. And this is how openness works, I believe. When our desire for God's mercy outweighs our desire for our idea of God's mercy in our life, that's when we opened ourselves to God's mercy. If we're talking like what's the effort, like God's going to work independent of your efforts. If we're talking about your efforts in this thing, that's what openness can look like. When my desire for God's goodness in my life outweighs my desire for my idea of God's goodness in my life. Because I have an idea of what that should look like. I've opened myself to his goodness. May we pray? May we pray? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all that you are up to in and around our lives. Thank you for all the ways that you are and have been compassionate and merciful. Whether or not we've seen any indications of it. Lord, I ask and pray that in your great goodness and generosity, you might strengthen our capacity to receive your compassion and mercy in our life, however you decide is to your liking. We love you and we trust you, and it's in your holy and precious, precious name we pray. Amen.